Gring Shiva Yeva. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of material existence by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This is approved by the previous acharyas who are fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also repeated this verse after he took sannyas. So sometimes it's considered like a sannyasi verse. And he approved of it. He liked this kind of determination. So it's not a verse you have to take through initiation or anything. You can say that verse anytime you want. It's right in the Bhagavatam. It's a nice verse to remember and to repeat because it helps build that kind of one-pointed determination that is required. I was thinking about the advantage of one-pointed attention today. When I was at a stoplight coming here, and I noticed this when I come to a stoplight and I'm right next to somebody else. If I'm stopped because it's a red light, but I'm concentrating and I'm thinking as soon as it turns green, I'm going. But my full attention is there. And then I notice everyone else in the line, when it turns green, by the time, you know, they notice that it's green, I'm about a half a mile down the road. Because most people don't actually concentrate on the green light. They just wait till everyone else goes. You know, there's a extreme lag time because they're just waiting to, you know, they're not really thinking about many other things. They might be doing a text or, you know, looking out the window. But when it moves, it moves. But if you're fully concentrating, I just notice you're like a mile ahead of everybody else because you're fixed on going when it says green. So when that happened, I was just thinking about Ekiha Kuru Nandana. Krishna says, you know, if you're one-pointed attention, then you have a great advantage. You know, you move ahead much faster because you're keeping your attention on the green light. When the light's green, you go, and then you're ahead. Well, back to Sri Brahma Samhita. And Sahidev Prabhu, can you just say something about the Brahma Samhita to inspire us? What is it? What's your realization of the book? What it means to you? Where it comes from? There's a mic right there.
Well, it was found by Lord Chaitanya during his travels to South India. I forget, the Adikeshava temple?
Yeah.
Yeah. He found two books, this one and Krishna Karnamrita. And Lord Chaitanya had strong affinity for both those books. And Bhakti Siddhanta comments in the Brahma Samhita that all the truths of the Vaishnava philosophy are contained in this book. And personally, I'm very attracted to it because Lord Brahma is giving his personal experience of his realization of Krishna, firsthand, you know, first eye account, you know, eyewitness account of Krishna's abode in Goloka, and it's very unique in that respect, you know, from other religious scriptures. There's a personal account of what the Lord looks like and what's going on there. And then there's so many other truths. And Srila Prabhupada, he in his address to the Hare Krishna mantra, and there was a record album that came out in 1970 that they made in London, England. And on that address, Prabhupada explains the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. And actually, it's taken out of a purport written by Bhaktisiddhanta in this book. And Prabhupada often chanted the Brahma Samhita prayers, and then the greeting of the deities. All these institutions now we have in ISKCON of like praying the Govinda prayers when greeting of the deities occur in all temples, that it doesn't matter where you go around the world, you go to Tokyo or you go to anywhere, they play that record made by Jamuna and Guru Das and John Lennon. I mean, not John Lennon, but George Harrison, actually. He actually composed the melodies and is playing the guitar in the background. But Jamuna's singing. And so it's all from the Brahma Samhita. So much of our ISKCON is coming from the Brahma Samhita, a lot of the things we do.
Okay? Arigato.
Doitashimashite. Don't touch my mustache.
In the first verse, Krishna is called Sarva Karana Karanam. That means the cause of all causes. And just thinking about what I said earlier about keeping our mind focused somewhere. When you know, our mind has to go somewhere, has to be focused on something. Then there's no better place to fix the mind than on Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. If you do that, then you've gone right to the source, to the origin of everything. So in our reading of Brahma Samhita, we're fixing our mind, our citta. Citta means it's the instrument through which we experience the world, actually. The eyes are just a lens. But the citta, sometimes it's like, it means the mind or the heart, actually. But we experience the world, it's kind of like an ocean. And then within that ocean, there are what's called vrittis, and they're like waves on that ocean of the citta. So Lord Chaitanya says, citta dharpana marjana, means that the citta has to be marjana, it has to be cleansed. It's cleansed by the process of hearing and chanting. And also the impression of Krishna needs to be firmly fixed in that citta we experience with our mind and our heart. So the intention of hearing and chanting, especially these devotional literatures like the Sri Brahma Samhita, needs to bring our consciousness to the supreme cause of all causes, who is the source of everything, the source of our consciousness, who is maintaining us at every second. And that brings joy by remembering the supreme cause of all causes, Krishna, who is the source of everything. We become ecstatic, we become happy and productive in every way. It's watering the root of the tree. So this exercise of sitting down to hear Brahma Samhita, purposefully fixing our mind on that green light, means we move forward in all ways, in all positive ways. So let's first read all the translations, and then we'll come back and chant the beautiful Sanskrit prayers together. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. The spiritual place of transcendental pastimes of Krishna is portrayed in the second verse. The super-excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokula, has thousands of petals and a corolla like that of a lotus sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whorl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. The whorl of that transcendental lotus is the realm wherein dwells Krishna. It is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling, predominated, and predominating aspect of the Absolute. Like a diamond, the central supporting figure of self-luminous Krishna stands as the transcendental source of all potencies. The holy name, consisting of 18 transcendental letters, is manifested in a hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. The whorl of that eternal realm, Gokula, is the hexagonal abode of Krishna. Its petals are the abodes of gopis, who are part and parcel of Krishna, to whom they are most lovingly devoted and are similar in essence. The petals shine beautifully like so many walls. The extended leaves of that lotus are the garden-like dham, that is the spiritual abode of Sri Radhika, the most beloved of Krishna. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shwetadweep surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Shvetadvipa is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. Ten tridents are fixed in the ten directions, including the zenith and nadir. The eight directions are decorated with eight jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda, and Nila. They are ten protectors of the ten directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Bimala, etc., shine on all sides.
Six. The Lord of Gokula is the transcendental supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. Krishna never consorts with his illusory energy. Still, her connection is not entirely cut off from the absolute truth. When he intends to create the material world, the amorous pastime in which he engages, by consorting with his own spiritual chit potency, Rama, by casting his glance at the deluding energy in the shape of sending his time energy, is an auxiliary activity. The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Rama Devi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. Divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation there appears a divine halo of the nature of his own subjective portion, Swamsa. This halo is divine Shambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is the dim twilight reflection of the Supreme Eternal Effulgence. This masculine symbol is a subjective portion of divinity who functions as progenitor of the mundane world, subject to the supreme regulatrix, Niyati. The conceiving potency in regard to the mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the limited, non-absolute, apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord. All offspring of the consort of the great Lord Maheshwara of this mundane world are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. The person embodying the material causal principle, the great Lord of this mundane world, Maheshwara Shambhu, in the form of the male generating organ, is joined to his female consort, the limited energy Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The Lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifest in him by his subjective portion in the form of his glance.
The Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands of heads, eyes, hands. He is the source of thousands of avatars in his thousands of subjective portions. He is creator of thousands and thousands of individual souls. The same Mahavishnu is spoken by the name of Narayana in this mundane world. From that eternal person has sprung the vast expanse of water of the causal, spiritual causal ocean. The subjective portion of Sankarsana, who abides in Paramvyoma, the above Supreme Purusha, with thousands of subjective portions, reposes in the state of divine sleep, Yog Nidra, in the waters of spiritual causal ocean. The spiritual seed of Sankarsana, existing in the pores of skin of Mahavishnu, are born as so many golden sperms. These sperms are covered with five great elements. The same Mahavishnu entered into each universe as his own separate subjective portions. The divine portions that entered into each universe are possessed of his majestic extension, that is, they are eternal universal soul Mahavishnu possessing thousands of thousands of heads. The same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb, Brahma, the first progenitor of being, from his right limb and from the space between his two eyebrows, Sambhu, the divine masculine manifested halo.
The function of Sambhu in relation to the Jivas is that this universe enshrining the mundane egotistic principle has originated from Sambhu. Thereupon the same great personality Godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati and Sambhu, entering into the mundane universe, plays the pastimes of preservation, creation and destruction of this world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world, hence it being perverted, the Supreme Lord, identical with Lord Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with Goddess Yoga Nidra, the constant of his spiritual chit potency, full of ecstatic trance of eternal bliss appertaining to his own divine personality. When Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create this universe, a golden lotus springs from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stem is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahmalok or Satyalok. Before the conglomeration, the primary elements in their nation-state remain originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya, and by the application of the conglomerating principle created those different entities in the state of cooperation. And after that, he himself consorted with Yoga Nidra by way of his eternal dalliance with his spiritual chit potency. By conglomerating all those separate entities, he manifested the innumerable mundane universe and himself entered into the inmost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virat Vigraha, and at the time those jivas who had laid dormant during the cataclysm were awakened.
The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity and without a beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship, his transcendental spiritual potency. The divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is in every way related by the spiritual tie with all souls and is the origin of four-faced Brahma versed in the four Vedas. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions, but he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, O Brahma, this mantra, namely, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled.
Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts for Krishna in Goloka, Lord of Shvetadvipa, for a long time. His meditation ran thus. There exists a divine lotus of 1,000 petals, augmented by millions of filaments, in the transcendental land of Goloka. On its world there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute, resonant with the divine sound, with his lotus mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids with their respective subjective portions and extensions, and also by his external energy, who stays outside, embodying all mundane qualities. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifested, that is imparted, by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself, through his 8 ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers, beautified with a moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyamasundara is eternally manifest. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha. Yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time, such as the primeval Lord whom I adore.
I adore the same Govinda, the primeval Lord, in whose praise men who are imbued with devotion sing the mantra suktas told by the Vedas. By gaining their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, conveyances, and ornaments, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Shakis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyamasundara, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eyes of devotion tinged with the salve of love. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars in this world in the forms of Rama, Narsimha, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth.
I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes, being reflected in the mind of the recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham, the mundane world. And next above it is Mahesh Dham, abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the Premier Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those graded realms. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore Premier Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Just as the milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither the same as nor different from its cause, milk. So I adore the Premier Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Sambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction.
The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the Premier Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. I adore the Premier Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesha, replete with the all-accommodating potency and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world, in the pores of his hair enjoys creative sleep, Yoga Nidra. Brahma and other lords of the mundane world, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is a portion of portion. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for regulation of the mundane world. Just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the name of Suryakanta, etc. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesha upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head, in order to obtain power for his function of destroying all obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds.
The three worlds are composed of the nine elements, namely fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul and mind. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom they originate, in whom they exist, and into whom they enter at the time of the universal cataclysm. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas, from Brahma to the meanest insect. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities, of all those who walk in the path of work in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works, no less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indra Gopa than in that of Indra, king of the Devas. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the mediators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attend to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation.
I worship that transcendental seat known as Vedadvipa, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk. Where there is eternal existence of transcendental time. Who is ever-present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, from me to the science set forth in the following five shlokas. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion than whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with his attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization would correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service. Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed, which is the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhana, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause, and I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman that inheres in you has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects.
Let's chant the shlokas. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Sahasrapatra Kamalam Gokulakyam Mahatpadam Tat karnikaram tad dhamma tad adantam shasambhavam karnikaram mahadyantram shatkonam vajrakilakam sharanga shatpadistanam prakritya purushena cha premananda mahananda rasena vastitam hiyat jyoti rupena manuna kama bhitena samgatam Tatkinjalkam tadangshanam tapatrani shriyamapi Chaturasram tatparitaha shweta dipakyamadbhutam Chaturasram chaturmurtesh chaturdhama chaturskritam Chaturbir purushartaischa chaturbir hetu virvitam Shrilar dashabirandantam urdvado diddhavikshapi Astabhir nidibir justam, astabhi siddhibhistata, Manu rupaischa dashabir dikpale paritovratam. Shamayar goraischa raktaischa shukaischa parshadarshabai. Shobitam shaktibista bir adbhuta bi samantataha. Evam jyotir mayo deva sarananda paratparaha. Atvaramasya tasyasti prakritya na samagamaha. Mayaya ramamanasya naviyogastayasaha. Atmana ramaya reme tyakvakalam shashikshaya. Niyati sa rama devi tat priya tat visham tada. Talinga bhagavan shambhur jyoti rupa sanatanaha. Yayoni sapara shakti kamo bija mahadare. Lingayonyatmika jata ima maheshwari prajaha. Shaktiman purusha soyam lingarupi maheshwaraha. Tasmin abhirabhu linge mahavishnu jagatpatihi. Sahasra shirsha purushaha sahasraksa sahasrapad. Sahasrabhahur vishvatma sahasramsa sahasrasuhu. Narayana sa bhagavan apastasma sanatanad. Avirasit karar narno nidhi sankarshanatmakaha. Yoga nidram katastasmin sahasram sasvayam mahan. Tadromi bilajaleshu bijam sankarshanasyacha. Haimanyandari jatani mahabhutavratani tu. Pratyandam evame kamshad ekamshad vishiti svayam. Sahasramurdha vishvatma mahavishnu sanatanaha. Vamangat asrajad vishnum dakshinangat prajapatim. Jyotirlinga mayam shambhum kurchadeshat avasrajat. Ahankaratmakam vishvam tasmat etad vyajayata. Atatthaistri vadherveshir lilam udvahatakila. Yoga nidra bhagavati tasra shrir eva sangata. Shashikshayam tato nabhes tasya padmam vaniryayo. Tannalam hema nalinam brahmano lokamadbhutam. Tatvani purvarudhani karanani parasparam. Samavaya prayogachcha vibhinani pratak pratak. Chitchaksa sajamano ta bhagavan adi purushaha. Yojayan mayaya devo yoga nidra makalpayat. Yojayitva tutanyeva pravivesha swayam guham. Guham praviste tasmimstu jivatma pratibudyate. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. Evam sarvatma sambandham nabhyam padmam harirabhut. Chatra brahmad bhavad bhuyash chaturvedi chaturmukaha. Sanjato bhagavach chaktya tatkalam kila choditaha. Sashikshayam matim chakre purva samskara samskritaha. Tadarsha kevalam dvantam nanyat kimapi sarvataha. Uvacha puratastasmai tasya divya saraswati. Kama krishnaya govinda he gopi jana ityapi. Valabhaya priyavanir mantram te dasyati priyam. Tapastam tapae tena tapasidhir bhavishyati. Atate pe sasuchiram prinam govindam avyayam. Shweta dvipa patim krishnam golokastam paraparam. Prakritya guna rupinya rupinya paryupasitam. Sahasradala sampande koti kinjalka brimhite. Bhumish chintamanistatra karnikare mahasane. Samasinam chidanadam jyoti rupam sanatanam. Shabda brahma mayam venum varayantam mukambuje. Vilasini gana vritam swashvar amshar abhishtutam. Atavenu ninadasya trayi murti maigatihi. Spuranti pravivesashu mukabjani swayambhuvaha. Gayatrim gayatastasmad arigatya sarojajaha. Samskritashchari gununa dvijatam magamattataha. Traya prabhudhota vidhir vijna tatvasagara ushtava vedasanena stotrinanena keshavam chintamani prakara sadma sukalpravriksha laksha vritesha shurabira pipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shatasambrahma sevyamanam Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Venum Konantam Aravindandalaya Taksham Bhadhavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam Kantarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Alola Chandra Kadasadvanamavyavamshi Ratnangadam Pranayakelikalavilasham Shyamam Tribangalalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Ankani Yasa Sakalendriya Vritti Manti Lashanti Panti Kalayanti Chiram Jikanti Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Advaitam Achutam Anadim Ananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Medeshu Dulabam Adulamam Atma Bhakta Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Pantastu Koti Shatavatsara Sambragamyo Vayuradhapi Manaso Munipungavanam Sopyasya Praparasimnya Vichentya Tatve Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Kopya saura taditum jagadanda kotim yachchakti rasti jagadanda chayaya danta antanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami yat bhava bhavi tadiyo manu jasta taiva samprapya rupa mahima shayanana bhusha Suktarya meva nigama pratitaistu vanti Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasa pratipavitabis Tabirya eva nijarupa tayakalabi Goloka eva nivasahya kilatma bhuto Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksareva hridayesha vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamari purusham namaham bhajami ramari muti shukalani amena tishtan nanavatara makaro bhuvanesha kintu Krishna Swayam Samababat Paramapumanyo Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Yasya Prabha Prabhapato Jagatana Koti Koti Shashesha Vasutari Viputi Pinnam Tad Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Maya hiyasha jagadanda shatani sute Traigunyata vishaya veda vitaya mana Sattva balambi parasattvam vishuddha sattvam Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasatmatayamanasu Ya praninam pratipalam smarutam upetya Lilayatena bhuvanani jayatya jastram Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Goloka namni nijadamni chaleta tasya Devi mahesha horidama suteshu teshu te te prapava nichaya vihitascha yena govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami srishti sthiti pralaya sarana shakti reka chayeva yasya bhuvanali viparti durga ischanurupam apiyasya chateste tesa Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Shiram Yatada Vikara Vishesha Yogad Sanjayate Nahitata Pratagasti Heto Yasham Bhutam Apitata Samupaiti Kalyad Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Departure eva hirashandaram abhyupetya Dipayate vravata hetu samana dharma Yastadrageva hijavishnu chaya vibhati Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Yakkar narna vajale bhajati sma yoga Nidram ananta jagadanda saroma kupaha Adhara Shaktim Avalambya Param Samurtim Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Yashaika Nishra Sitakala Matavalambya Jivanti Loma Vilajaja Gatandanata Vishnur Mahansa Ihayasya Kala Vishesho Govindamari Purusham Hamaham Bhajami Basvanyatasma sakalesh nijeshu teja Sriyam kiya prakatayata vitadvaratra Brahma ya esha jagadanda vidhana karta Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Yatpada pallava yukam vinidaya kumba Vande pranama samayesa ganadi raja Vignan vidhantam alamasya jagatrayasya Govindamari purusham namaham bhajami Agnir mahi ganganamam mumuru dishascha Kalastatatma manasiti jagatrayani Yasmad bhavanti vivavanti vishanti yamcha Govindamari purusham namaham bhajami Yat shakshuresha savita sakala grahanam Raja samasta suramutira shesha tejaha Yas jagnaya pramati sambrata kala chakro Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Mota papa nichaya shutayasta pamsi Brahmari kita patagavadayascha jiva Yadatra matra vibhava prakata prabhava Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Yastvindra gopam atavindra mahosa karma Bandhanu rupa palabhajana matunoti Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Yam krodha kama sahaja praniyari piti Vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai Sanchintya tasa sadrishim tanama purete Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Sriya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo Dhruma bhumishchinta mani garamai toyam amritam Kataganam natyam kamanam api bhamshi priyasaki Chidanandam jyoti paramapi taraswadyam apicha Sayatra shirabdhi sravati surabhibhyascha sumahan Nimesardhyakyo vavrajati nahi atrapi samayaha Vaje shweta dvipam tamaham miha golokam itiyam Vidantaste shantakshiti virilachara kotipaye Ato vacha mahavishnur bhagavantam prajapatim Raman mahatva vignane prajasarge chachinmatihi Pancha shlokim imam vidyam vatsa tatram dibodame Prabhure jnana bhakti vyam mayananda chinmayi udeti unitama bhaktir bhagavat prema lakshana pramanait tat saracharais tadabhyasir nanantaram bhonayanatmanatmanam bhaktimapyutamam labhe yasya shreyaskaram nasti yaya nivritumapnuyat yasarayatimameva bhaktim tamivasarayet dharma manyan parityaja mamekam bhaja vishwasan yadrishi yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhavati tadrishi kurvan nirantaram karma loko yam manavartate tenaiva kanamanatyayam mam param bhaktimichyati aham hi vishasya chara charasya vijam pradhanam prakritihi pumamscha maya hitam teja idam vibarshi vire virehi dvamato jaganti ishvaraha paramaha krishna sakchit ananda vigraha anadiradir govinda sarva karana karanam iti sri brahma samhita sampurnam hari om Sri Sri Radhamadan Mohanji ki jai, Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishingadev ki jai, Sri Man Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hopefully we'll have memorized all these. In case they don't allow us paper, that we might slit our wrists inside the jail with the paper, we'll memorize all these first before we get thrown in the slammer. So here's the Sriman Mahapur Shatanam. The last song was written by the great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He had a complete transformation after meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His life changed by the association of Mahaprabhu. At first he wanted to instruct him because he saw it was a young sannyasi. He wanted him to understand the impersonal point of view from reading Vedanta Sutra to him for many, many days. Mahaprabhu didn't say a word. And then he asked Mahaprabhu why he wasn't saying a word, if he didn't understand. He said, I understand perfectly, but your explanations are obscuring everything. And then when Mahaprabhu spoke, Bhattacharya's mind, he was a great scholar, he became bewildered and then thought that this can only be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Mahaprabhu also gave an explanation of the Atmarama verse. After Bhattacharya had given his explanation, which is erudite explanation, then Mahaprabhu gave a more extended explanation, not touching any of the original explanations that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had given. And then Mahaprabhu revealed his form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who surrendered completely under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he had such a transformation of heart. He was a smarta and followed all these rules and regulations very carefully. But the next morning, after his surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu had been at Mangalartik and was bringing some sweets from the temple to Sarvabhauma. And just before sunrise, he was just rising from bed as Mahaprabhu approached. And Mahaprabhu could hear him say, Krishna, Krishna, as he was waking up. And he became very pleased. And then when he knocked at his door and informed him that he had some Mahaprasadam, uncharacteristically, he came and took that Mahaprasadam and honored it without taking bath or doing any of the other kinds of purificatory processes that a smarta would normally do before he touched anything. Because nadesha niyamastata nakala niyamastatra praptamanam dutam shushtir bhoktiram harirabravit. Mahaprasad in the devotional mood should be taken as soon as it is received. Doesn't matter if it came from a distant country, and it doesn't matter what time it is. In any place, time and circumstance, one should take the Mahaprasad of the Lord and honor it immediately. And then soon afterwards, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to change the wording in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the verse Tattenu Kampam Sisamikshamanam, it says, Mukte Pade. And he wanted to change to Bhakti Pade because he so much abhorred the name Mukti, or liberation, after he had been transformed into a pure Vaishnava by the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu explained to him that you can't change the Bhagavatam, but you can understand the meaning of Muktipadi, which means Krishna's name Mukunda, and he's the source of all liberation, so you can think of it like that. But still he didn't like it. He kept it anyway, but that's the transformation when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then all kinds of ideas of merging into the Lord and sense gratification and all these things become insignificant and superfluous by the being washed away by the waves of pure devotion coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll do well in our devotional service to count down the days and minutes from now till Gaur Purnima, till that time, meditating like that green light, waiting for that green light to come. So we're waiting, just watching, and then when the green light comes, we step on the gas. But now we're concentrating, we're meditating on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu up to that very minute, and then we'll have full acceleration when that time comes as a divine appearance day. So this next song is by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sriman Mahaprabhur Shatanam. And we used to chant this daily in Vrindavan because we go on the Govardhan Parikram, and when we start off at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram, when we're about three-fourths of the way around the Govardhan Hill, we've come to Radhakund. And in the last section of Radhakund, there's a sitting place for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that's right on Shamakund Lake. And you can walk down into that sitting place, and every day we'd sing this prayer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we walk a little further down the road, about another 400 yards, and then you take a sharp left into a little doorway, into a courtyard, and there's the sitting place of Nityananda Prabhu. And there we could sing the Nityananda Ashtakam and feel satisfied. I say this every time, but it might have been the best one we've ever had. Wasn't it nice? It was so sweet.
And when we started out at the spot there, I was wondering, well, how is this going to work out?
Yeah.
Just a few of us and not many people coming, but it was a great stop for people to stop and, you know, look at the book table.
It's yeah.
It's from
the new place, the park they've redesigned. They kind of ruined it, actually. Because they made the place where we used to stand, which is right in the corner, they put a fountain there, so we can't stand there. And then the free speech area is way in the back. That's where we're supposed to stand now, in the designated free speech area. Yeah, we're not going to do it. They can sue us if they want. But, you know, so anyway, there was already a band playing there. Somebody was playing electric guitar, so we didn't want to compete. So we went down to Bryant and just started off. It was nice and slow in the beginning. Few devotees, and then more and more came. And what an impact. The devotees were so blissful. I think part of it is because we've been indoors for so long. It's kind of like being in Chaturmasya for 4 months of the rainy season. Now the rain stopped, and we're out back on Harinam again. Of course, we were missing Bhakta Daniel. When it started, and there was critical mass, and the devotees started dancing, I just saw everyone who came around the corner was stunned. They would stop and look, and they were just taken with it. And there's thing about going on Sankirtan is, vicariously, you get to enjoy for the first time what it's like to experience Sankirtan, to hear the holy name of the Lord. It's actually the best thing. I remember the first time I saw the Hare Krishna devotees, and I from the top to bottom, I was stunned. What? You know? But it seemed so appealing at the same time, and I couldn't get the Hari Hari out of my head, you know? And and it was just so nice. And then when we go on Harinam Sankirtan, we get to see that over and over again, the people coming for the first time experiencing it and what it looks like, you know, their visceral reaction. There was one kid who was so excited. And when he realized he could actually dance with us, did you see that? That kid, he jumped in the Harinam. I've never seen anybody so enthusiastic. He was just so happy to be a part of it and to be able to dance in the kirtan. And then our friend, who looks just like the devotee Jamuna, you know, the one who I brought down here that one morning, she came on book distribution, who lives down there? Yeah, American girl. It lives in Palo Alto. And one night, what's her name? Anyway, she came all smiles and jumped in the kirtan and she stayed for the night. And last time she came, you know, she came also for the morning program next day, and then she went on Sankirtan. And it was her first time ever really coming to a temple or going on Sankirtan. You were there that day, right? Oh, she came out to Santa Cruz with us. And, you know, she stood around watching, and she had books in her hand for about the first hour and a half. And I kept asking her, are you all right? Because I thought maybe she'd think, wow, this is really over the top, you know. And then she said, yeah, I'm all right, but I really want to distribute some books. And I said, you do? And she said, yeah, but not in front of everybody. So can I go down the street a little bit, you know? So I think, George, you took her down the street. And she sold 3 books and came back all pleased. And last night she was back, you know, saying how much she missed the devotees and just wanted to be in the kirtan and everything. And Parveena was telling me last night that I saw it from the kirtan, but one lady came over and she just was glued to the table, to this book table. I mean, she came over like it was a magnet and she was standing there. And I saw Parveena come over to help her. And, you know, she took books. And afterwards, Parveena was telling me that, she said, well, which one would you like? And she said, well, can I have all of them? And then, you know, she took one of everything, and then she offered a $40 donation, said, this is all I have, you know, wish I could give more. And then I heard from Shrikant yesterday, you know, he was distributing books, and a man was so excited to get a Bhagavad Gita and some other book, and he said, can I offer you a donation? And he gave $20. And I talked to 2 high school kids, and they were just mesmerized. And they came over, and I gave them a few books. I asked them for donation. They said all they had was credit cards. I said, that's, you know, no problem. We take credit cards. And they said, oh, no problem. We'll give a credit card. So they came over, and I didn't have a credit card slip, so I was just writing down the number in my little notepad, you know. I mean, for ordinary people, some alarm bell might have gone off or something like that. But they probably would have gave me their social security number too. They were so nice and innocent and everything like that. And then, you know, they consulted among each other. You know, how much should we give? And they said $30. And then anyone said, no, let's give 40. So they gave $40 on their credit card, and I gave them stacks of books also. And it was that kind of night. And then even the policeman came over, because when he looked, out of ecstasy, the devotees were sort of blocking all the traffic. And I saw Sonny was kind of out almost like in the middle of the street stopping someone to sell a book just as the cop pulled up and was driving by. And I saw him see him, and I thought, uh-oh, that's trouble. Cop sees somebody selling books in the street. It's going to be difficult. So he came back, and someone said, the cop's waiting to talk to you. So I ran over, and he was very nice. He just said, you know, you got people in the street. There's a free speech designated area up there for you guys now. And I said, somebody's already in it, so we're down here. And he said, oh, I see. And I said, yeah, we'll clean it up. Don't worry. We'll keep the people out of the street and not block traffic. He said, no problem. So he came back a little while later, and he had these little badges for all the kids that had these lights that go on and off and sparkle. So he came to all the kids, and he put them on their shirts, and, you know, kind of to make friends and everything like that. And then we went on the parikram. And we started off from Bryant and University, because that's where we ended up. And we were going up the street. And just as I was walking past the Love Hut, I didn't even know what it was. We were going by, and they were closing the door. And the guy was putting the close sign on the door. And I looked at him, and it was just, I just thought, let's go inside. So I said, you know, I waved to the guy, and he waved back. He kind of smiled. So I said, I said, open the door, open the door. And he goes, we're closed, we're closed. And I said, open the door, open the door. And he goes, we're closed. I said, open the door. And so finally he opens the door and I said, we're coming in. And he goes, what? You know, and I said, we're coming in. So I just opened the door and we all went in. All the devotees, there must have been 50 devotees inside the Love Hut. And then the kirtan really took off. And all the employees were still back there behind the counter. And they started going crazy. They, you know, at first they were like, what? You're coming in? You know? And then we actually got in there. They started clapping and they were smiling. And they were in ecstasy. They were happy. And then the lady, you know, she took a big bowl of these chocolate hearts for Valentine's Day, and she put them out and said, please, you know, take for everybody. And I had a garland on because I was over at in Berkeley in the afternoon meeting with the devotees there, and they'd given me a garland. I was wearing it still from Radha Gokulananda, so I took it off and I put it over the head of the owner of the place, and she was, and she bowed down and everything like that. Then we went back out, and we went a little further to that very fancy restaurant. I heard it's a fancy restaurant. It's on the left-hand side, and it has this kind of really long pagoda out in front. That it's really fun to chant in there. So we all went in there and chanted for a little while, and then made it back down gradually to Bryant Street and into the Harinam that Hansapriya Mataji had made halva. And everyone stayed for an extra 40 minutes or something like that, having halva and talking about everything, whatever. And then everyone went home. And I just, you know, the Yuga Dharma, Hare Krishna, is Harinam Sankirtan. And when you go in Harinam Sankirtan, you just make advancement in devotional life. You become Mamupeti Punarjanma, no, I'm thinking, Mamchayo Bhyabhicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityaitan Pramapuya Yakalpate. By performing devotional service with one-pointed attention, then and constantly, you rise above the three modes of material nature and come to the level of Brahman. That's easy on Harinam Sankirtan because it's such a powerful process. The chitta, the consciousness becomes, even if you're standing up, most yoga you have to sit down, ashtanga, and concentrate and bring the life airs up and still the senses. But the Harinam Sankirtan is so powerful, even if you're standing up, even if you're wearing boots, just came from work, and you get in the middle of the Harinam Sankirtan, you come to that high stage immediately by the power of the holy name. And other people do too. It's such a merciful process. You know, in Ashtanga and all these other kinds of meditation, it's for the practitioner. Nobody else gets it. In fact, they sit on a seat to keep the snakes away and everything like that. But in bhakti, it's so merciful that, you know, they even want the snakes to hear it. It's like, you know, we're distributing it to the people, the snakes, the birds, the bees, the dogs. Everyone gets it. The power of that vibration expands everywhere. And everyone feels immediate samadhi. They get it immediately. Just walking around the corner and they want to dance and they want to jump and they want to be Nadia Nagari, Nitai Neche Neche Gari. And this is Nityananda Prabhu. He's distributing these names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dancing and singing and the ecstasy entering immediately into that transcendental state. So again, another success here at ISKCON Silicon Valley. One of the best Harinams. What did you think? One of the best Harinams ever, wasn't it? It was unique, certainly, last night. Just how the whole thing happened, that it took place. And sort of the weather was nice, too. It was, you know, it rained during the day, and then it was warm and in the evening.
As soon as I got, going back the other way, as soon as I got to, like, Redwood City, it was raining again. At my house, you know.
Just that one little area was dry and nice. I was determined this time because the last Harinam I canceled, there's one thing I hate. If there's one thing I hate, it's canceling a Harinam. I agonize over it. And then after I cancel it, I can barely sleep at night because I think, you canceled a Harinam? You know? How could you do that? You know? And then, so the last time I did it, it was around 3 p.m. and it was pouring rain. And then right after I canceled, the rain abated. And then it, by the time it was 6:59, I looked outside and it was clear, and I was like, no! So I said, this time, if it looks like the precip is going to be down by that time, we're going no matter what. And Krishna made the arrangement. It was so nice. A night to remember. No question about it. It's so nice to be out with the devotees. And, you know, it's a kind of yoga kids can take part in, too. They're dancing and singing and having fun. And everybody was in ecstasy. People like it, too. You know, I think there's a natural sense people have just in general when they walk by and they think, this is good. You know, this is a good thing. They don't know what it is. Like that that girl who's on the videotape we made for that Sankirtan video, she said, I see them out here every once in a while chanting, and I said, I don't know what it is, but I really like it, you know. And that's the sense I get. A lot of people look and they don't know what it is, but they really like it. Even when we first started, there was only a couple of us out there last night. A man in a suit walked around the corner, and then he did a double take. He looked back and goes, is this Hare Krishna? And I said, yeah, it's Hare Krishna. You got a booklet or something? And I said, yeah, we got a booklet. And Ramananda Sakar, you know, gave him a book, and he took off with a book in his hand. But people have a general sense that we need something spiritual in the world, and that this is intrinsically spiritual. They can feel it in the holy name. So this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributing this to everyone. Virginia, use the mic. Use the Monday evening? Oh. Well, we have a Harinam set up for Friday. We didn't have one set up for Monday. Would you like to have a Harinam on Monday? Okay, so Virendra Kumar will be leading a Harinam Sankirtan on Monday. The details to be announced. Next week, I scheduled this at the beginning of the year, but I'm going on a writing retreat. I'm going to hide out because I've been writing a book for a long time about Sankirtan that the VBT asked me to write. And I just haven't been able to finish it because I can't get a patch of time with finishing my sadhana and doing everything else. I can't get to it. So the editor finally told me that you better take a retreat. So I just carved out this time. So starting next Monday, I'm going to turn off my emails and my phone and everything else. I'll be unreachable for 1 week. That's not very much for a writing retreat, but it's a lot for me. And yeah, next Monday, starting on Monday, I'm out of commission for a week, and I want you to pray for me that I can concentrate and get this finished. It would really help me a lot. Thank you. What's that? Okay. Hare Krishna. Hansapriya, what did you think of the Harinam last night?
It was ecstatic.
Yeah? Can you say more about it? Any things you remember? But use the mic, because there might be devotees tuned in this morning. You got to turn that on. Can you collect all these?
I think when we walked in, we heard the Harinam from a little distance. And it kind of just like all hard work of week, you know, hard working week. And we came in the evening and we just melted. Mm-hmm. So that was the first like relaxing feeling I had. And when I joined the Harinam and when we started dancing and we enjoyed the kirtan, I think it just got you know, much more sweeter and sweeter. It was so nectarious to, you know, sing and see all the devotees chanting, and those two kids came and joined, and it just felt like we had something, or we were in that state that we have everything and nothing matter.
Mm. That's a nice point.
Yeah. And I saw some of my co-worker, but I felt like they were from some different world. And didn't bother. I just continued to enjoy kirtan. And when we walked around, it was also so nice to see that people, you know, drop their jaw to look at us. And I also like that kirtan in the restaurant. I think that was very sweet, and how receptive that lady was, and it just made me feel like we have something that we can give and share to everyone.
Mm. I like the point you made about that feeling when we're all in the kirtan together, and everyone knows it, we have something. I was thinking when you said that of the verse in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, yam labha chaparam labham. It's a state of in transcendence, Krishna says, when the person feels that there's no greater gain, like I have everything. There's no state like that in the material life. Give you $1 billion and you go like, now I got to pay taxes on this, and now I got now, and why didn't I have 2 billion? And why is it only 1 billion? But when you have that kirtan with the devotees on Sankirtan and you're distributing it like that, there is that feeling like we have it. We have something here that there's no other place I'd rather be. That's like be here now. I don't want to be anywhere else. There's no other place in the universe besides this. It's so ecstatic. Nice. Malini, you have some reflections on the Harinam? And also, I just want to say the dancing, the women were dancing last night, that dancing, it was catching people's attention like anything. And not that I want to institutionalize it or and ruin it or anything like that, but I definitely want to encourage it, because that choreographed dancing like that, it just really catches people's attention. Now the men just have to learn how to dance. Who was? Who? Oh, Tirtha was dancing. Okay, so maybe he can train the men up. Hare Krishna.
Puji, Harinam every time is the best for me, because as you said, like, I forget everything, and that's where I really wanted to be. But yesterday when we were going out, since we are meditating on the drama a lot, I've been thinking about that day and night. And when we went from store to store, from restaurant to restaurant, and I was just thinking how Nityananda would go every door and how he would distribute the holy name, and I was just thinking this is exactly what Nityananda asked us to do. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy that we've been following Nityananda's instructions under your guidance, and it was certainly different. And then when Kishore Prabhu was singing that tune, actually that is from one of the videos which from Rajadham. And when he was singing and when we were dancing, I was just thinking of all the places in Vrindavan. And certainly Harinam is the experience that everyone has to undergo. Otherwise, they wouldn't understand that. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing, Puji.
Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. One thing that I remembered fondly this morning, I was thinking of Vanamali's son, Shyam. And after the kirtan was over, you know, the energy was dying down, and he started crying. Because during the thing, he was riding on his father's shoulders, and he was holding a flag. And I just saw this look on his face. He's just riding around like he was in that zone also. That's like kids can do this kind of yoga too, because he was going like, yeah, this is it. You know, I don't want to be anywhere else. You know, he just looks out like, you know, like kirtan. And even Gaura Krishna, you know, Praveen and Kishore's son, you know, they wheel him in, you know, and then they park the perambulator there so that, you know, he could just look out. And he's got a little hood on. And, you know, he's just like, how old is he? Like, 9 months or something? 7 months. And, you know, he's just into the kirtan. And after it was over, you know, I could tell, like, especially Shyam, he was, Akura was holding him, and he just started crying. And I said, what's the matter? And they said, and his parents said, the kirtan stopped.
You asked him, do you want more kirtan?
Oh, I asked Shyam, I said, do you want more kirtan? And he's like, yeah, yeah. So I started going, Hare Krishna. And then he stopped crying, and he starts clapping. And I looked right behind him, and Kishore was holding Gaura Krishna. And he has this thing when somebody's holding him, because he likes to dance. So I was chanting for Shyam, and then Gaura Krishna was standing back there. And when I started chanting Hare Krishna, he started kicking his feet. He was like more dancing, you know. And I was just saying, it's the natural thing, you know, whether you're a baby or, you know, you're 80 years old, when the kirtan starts, you know, the soul gets uplifted and pulled up to the Goloka atmosphere, you know, just by the power of the holy name, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. So that personal energy of Krishna enters in. And so it's the most auspicious and effective yajna that there is. So organizing to have kirtan everywhere and anywhere and everywhere for the benefit of the world, it's the most important kind of activity there is. People really need it. You know, we don't need more corporate buildings. I was looking at the skyline driving back from Berkeley yesterday, the San Francisco skyline, and there's all these buildings, and I was thinking, what is everybody doing in there? I mean, are they happy? Is it really? Do they feel like there's no place I'd rather be than in here doing this? But in kirtan, they can feel like that. So it's really a relief for the general populace. And it's the greatest welfare activity, Rupa Goswami says, to spread the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, teach people kirtan, you know, the simple process. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He went from house to house, village to village, and he told people, if you don't have instruments, you can sit down and just clap and chant, and everyone will feel satisfied and happy by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's the sum and substance of our movement. It's the Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. So let's continue on with the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. And on the Meyer Yellow Lemon tab, there's some shlokas. So you have your choice. We'll take a vote. We can recite these shlokas all the way through. These are selected shlokas from the Bhagavatam. And we can hear them like that and then start the Bhagavatam class. Or we can pick one shloka and fully concentrate on it and get a start to learning it for the day. In other words, we'll hear the word for word and just discuss a little bit in the class right now, and then you'll have that as a takeaway, and you can recite it 50 times when you walk away and then remember that verse forever. Which one would you like? The first one, A, is chant all the shlokas, and B is hear one shloka that you can take away. Okay, if you want A, raise your hand. If you want B, raise your hand. No abstentions. And he voted twice. Okay, well, I have a nice verse. Well, I wanted to be prepared in case the bill passed. Of course, Malini already knows this one, so that's not a good one. Let's learn one that nobody knows. How about turn on your shloka book to page 287. This is a good one, too, because last night it was also the mercy of Lord Shiva. It was Shivaratri. And when Shivaratri was happening, I thought it was a Harinam at the same time. So I sent out that verse from Bhaktivinoda Thakur in which Panchavandana, it's the five-faced Lord Shiva, is giving screams of ecstasy in the kirtan. Can you imagine that? Lord Shiva screaming in ecstasy in the kirtan with Narada Muni. And so I was talking to the great pundit Mukunda Datto yesterday over the phone, and he was mentioning in passing, because it was Shivaratri, that in London, there's a on the altar there, when Prabhupada was there, there was a little Vyasa sign. It was empty, and they kept it on the altar. And Prabhupada told the devotees that because the kirtans were so ecstatic in the temple, that Vyasa sign was saved for Lord Shiva, and he would come and sit down there during the kirtan and observe. And Mukunda was recently there, and he told me that that same Vyasa sign is still there. So these great personalities, they come when everyone's Krishna, devotional, pure devotional service called Krishna Karshani. And it means that pure devotional service attracts Krishna, and it attracts all of his associates also. So in the house of the Pandavas, all kinds of great personalities and demigods also used to show up because they were so amazed at how Krishna would stay in the house of the Pandavas, how much Krishna was attracted to the Pandavas' quality of pure devotional service, that all the devotees wanted to go there too. It was the main hangout place for everyone in the universe. So they would all come there. And so when we perform these kinds of yajnas, it attracts Krishna and it attracts all his devotees also. And here's a nice verse, which on page 287 at the bottom, which is from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and which gives the superlatives. I'll say, then please repeat. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achito yata. Vaishnavanam yata shampu. Purananam idam tata. Does anybody already know this verse? You want to recuse yourself before we start? Okay. Nimnaganam. Of rivers flowing down to the sea. 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 If I wanted to say of rivers flowing down to the sea, what would I say in Sanskrit? Okay. Yata. As. Yata. As. Yata. As. Ganga, the Ganges. Nimnaganam, of rivers flowing down to the sea. Yata, as. Ganga, the Ganges. Nimnaganam, yata, Ganga. Nimnaganam, yata, Ganga. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Someone give a loose translation of the first line. Yeah, thank you. Devanam. Of all deities. Devanam. Of all deities. Devanam. Of all deities. Achyuta. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achyuta. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yata, as. Yata, as. Yata, as. What does yata mean? If I was going to say in Sanskrit, as, what would I say? How about if I was going to say of flowing rivers down to the sea? Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam. What does devanam mean? Achyuto yata. What does achyuta mean? Yata. What does yata mean? Devanam achyuto yata. Devanam achyuto yata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achyuto yata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achyuto yata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achyuto yata. Devanam machito yata.
Devanam machito yata.
Okay, say the first two lines without looking. But try to make at least three mistakes. Nimdaganam yata ganga. Devanam achito yata. Nimnaganam 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 yata ganga. Devanam achito yata. One key to learning verses, it's not just the words, it's also the rhythm. One of the benefits of reading Sanskrit and memorizing Sanskrit is it's a very rhythmic language. So if you'll notice that, you know, there's long and short vowels. If you attach yourself to those long and short vowels, I compare it to crossing over a stream where there's rocks and you jump from one rock to the next. So if you look at the long vowels as places where you can actually step when you're crossing the river. And you stay a little bit longer in those places. You step there, then you step, step, step. So use it with your mind, step on in those places and cross over the river. So hold the vowels that are longer, you hold twice as long as the short vowels. So Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achito yata. Vaishnavanam. 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 And say the word. Vaishnavanam. 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 Yata. Yata. What does yata mean? Shampoo. 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 Vaishnavanam yata shampoo. Vaishnavanam yata shampoo. Vaishnavanam yata shampoo. Devanam machito yata. Devanam machito yata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam machito yata. Devanam machito yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Okay, do the three lines backwards. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achito yata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achito yata.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Nimdakanam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Of all gods means Devanam. Use those vowels to step over the river. Step over the stream. Devanam achato yata. Achato. Devanam achato yata. Ganam. Nindaganam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achato yata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achato yata. Nindaganam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achato yata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achato yata. As Ganga. Nimdaganam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achato yata. Nindaganam yata ganga. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Devanam achato yata. Nimdaganam yata. Remember the long vowels too. Really stretch them out. Go stretch them out longer. Devanam achato yata. It'll help you. And there's a difference between devanam and devanam. A difference in meaning altogether. It just says there's a difference between Vasudev and Vasudev. Yes.
From all the devas.
From all the devas. Yes. Devanam achuto yata.
Devanam achuto yata.
What does Devanam achuto yata mean? All the deities. Achuta. Okay. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, achuta. They're saying all these are the best of all rivers, the best of all gods. Right? Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Achutam.
Devas.
Devanam achuto yata.
Devanam achuto yata.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Nimnaganam yata ganga. Okay, last one. Of all the Puranas, this one's the best. And what's he talking about? Idam, this one, the Bhagavatam. So the last line is about all the Puranas. The previous line is about all the Vaishnavas. Previous line is all the gods. And the first line is about all the rivers. So the last one is Purananam. Purananam. Purananam.
Purananam.
Purananam. Purananam.
Purananam.
Purananam.
Purananam.
Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Purananam. Idam. Idam. Purananam. 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 Idam. Tata. 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 So there are many thousands of yata tata verses. It means just like this, then that. So yata tata, that's what's in this verse. We've got three yatas and one tata. So this verse is saying, just like the Ganges is the best, just like Lord Achyuta is the best, just like Lord Shiva is the best, so this Bhagavatam is the best of all the Puranas. That's what it's saying. Yata tata. Just like this, then that. So yata tata. So Purananam idam tata.
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 Purananam idam tata. Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata. Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Nimnaganam yatash ganga.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Devanam achuto yata.
Devanam.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Devanam achuto yata.
Devanam achuto yata.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. That's what you want, the echo effect. Okay.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Devanam achuto yata.
Devanam achuto yata.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Deva chuto yata. Yata yata.
Devanam achuto yata. Vaishnavanam, step over that river.
Yata shambhu.
Yes, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Of all the Puranas.
Puranam.
Nanam.
Idam.
tata. Purananam idam tata. Excellent. Nindaganam yata ganga. Devanam achito yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achuto yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achuto yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. Okay, Vana. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Of all the devas. Devanam achatoyata. Devanam. Vaishnavanam. Purananam idam tata. Excellent. Very good. Thinking yourself swimming in the Ganges, then standing before a beautiful deity of Achyuta. Lord Shiva joining the kirtan last night. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achito yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. Excellent. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achito yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achuto yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. Nimnaganam yata ganga. Devanam achuto yata. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Purananam idam tata. Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Nimnaganam yata ganga.
Devanam achuto yata.
Devanam achuto yata.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhu.
Purananam idam tata.
Purananam idam tata.
Gopremanande. So now please, before the sun sets tonight, or before your head hits the pillow, recite this verse 50 times. best if you do it without looking. And that gap that you feel when you blank out or when it doesn't come back, that's your brain growing. So, yeah, it's a stretch, you know. When you stretch your brain, it grows. Actually, it grows more filaments and things in there when you do this. It's a good exercise so you don't go senile also. But, you know, remembering verses and stretching, go for that gap, because every time that you cross that gap, you cross that river again, then it becomes stronger and more ingrained. And then after a while, it makes a pathway when you say it so many times. And also, it really helps to think about the verse, too. When you're memorizing verses, I mean, everyone learns in different ways, but I could tell you a few helpful things. For me, for the Brahma Samhita, for years I chanted the Brahma Samhita, and I knew all the verses, but I couldn't remember the sequence. And then I was flying through Singapore, and I met this brahmachari, and I said, "You want to chant the Brahma Samhita?" He said, "Yeah, I do it every day." So we sat down, and we chanted it. And then before I left, he gave me this paper that he had written by hand, all the verses of the Brahma Samhita. And I had it on the plane, and I was looking at it. I kept seeing these little notations in the bottom of the page, and there were letters, and the letters started with, it was a C-V-A-A-A, then P-A-Y-A-P. You can might be able to guess what it is already. At first, because, you know, my mind's not so, it wasn't adept to it, I looked and I thought, what are these notations? And then I realized they correlated with the first letter of each shloka. And then I could remember C-V-A-A-A, Chintamani, Menung, and then, you know, Angani, Yasya, all the way through. And then when I memorized those little sequences, the next one was Payap, which was Premanjana, Pantastu, and then Ekopyaso, then Yadbhava, Pavitadio, like that. Then I could remember easily in my mind the sequence of all the verses. I mean, that was one way, and it just came to me easily. Whereas a Kurnath, his brain's, well, powerful, but it's also really like logical too. So he told me he memorizes like chapters, but he thinks of the logic behind it, like why did Krishna say this and then he said that, and that helps him to remember like and hang on to like what's the next one. He actually thinks about it logically, why does this follow that. And another thing is pictures. And if you remember pictures, like if you remember this verse and you think about, like what's the first line? It's about the Ganges, right? If you've ever been to the Ganges, think about the Ganges and going to the Ganges, and then, you know, think of praying to the Ganges. I remember being in the Ganges taking a bath once in Mayapur. And I was, Buck George, could you close that? Because some devotees are getting blasted by the, I mean, vitamin D is good and everything, but that's a little much. I was in the Ganges as I was looking out, and I was just thinking how the part I was in, which seemed overwhelming to me, was just one little drop coming down from the causal ocean, and I had this overwhelming sense of, you know, being in sort of the protection of the lotus feet of the Lord, and how big the universe was, and this was coming down. It was just a wonderful feeling. And so whatever remembrance you have of the Ganges, you can remember this, Nimnaganam Yata Ganga, and then, you know, picture it when you say that verse. And then the next line is, Devanam Achuto Yata. And think of, you know, your favorite darshan of Lord Krishna as Achuta, and think how he is infallible. Queen Kunti said to Krishna that the sun may one day become cold, or the moon one day may become hot, but you will always keep your vow. Because she brought, Lord Krishna brought her sons back from the battle of Kurukshetra. He vowed he would, he'd protect them and bring them back, and he did. And she said, the sun may turn cold, the moon may turn, but you'll keep your word to your devotees. And you can remember Achyuta, he's infallible to his devotees. He makes a vow that my devotee is never vanquished. He keeps it, and you can think of that. Devanam Achuto Yata, he's infallible. And then, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, and you can think of how Lord Shambhu visited the kirtan last night and how it was the most ecstatic kirtan we've ever had. I mean, that impression is there eternally, that we did the yajna and the Lord on Shiva Ratri on that night. And you can remember how Lord Shiva is the greatest of Vaishnavas, how he screams in ecstasy in the kirtans, and how he saved the world by drinking poison for the sake of saving all the devotees in the universe. And actually he says in that section where when the demigods and even Krishna go to pray to him, as such an exalted personality, he says that the best way to worship the Supreme Personality of God, who is located in everyone's heart, is to show compassion. It's the volunteer tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasojana. And he said the best way to do service is to take austerity on oneself for the sake of others who are suffering and give them an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. That's the best way of worshiping the Lord in the heart. Tapyante lokatapena. The best kind of austerity is when you're doing austerity to do good for others. This is Shavaishnavanamita Shambhu. He's such a great Vaishnav, Lord Shiva. And he's Gopishwar Mahadev. Oh, what a darshan. In Vrindavan, you go to Gopishwar Mahadev in that temple, and you can get a bale leaf and some, a lemon and some other things to take in and offer to Lord Shiva in Vrindavan. And he's the guardian of the holy Dham. You have to go there in order to enter into the esoteric nature of the Dham. He's protecting the Dham, Gopishwar Mahadev. And it's such a beautiful temple. It's so time-worn with bhakti. The devotees come in there and, all the marble is worn from so many Vaishnavas walking around worshipping Lord Shiva there with the feeling that, please, let me enter into the Dham just a little bit so I can feel this, And if you go there, then the dust from all the feet of the Vaishnavas and the power of Lord Shiva's bhakti, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, that's there. You get that. So Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, then Purananam Idam Tata. If you take all the other books in the world and they go in the ocean, you never see them again. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you keep the Bhagavatam, you'll be fine. No problem. Of all the Puranas, this is the best. It's the Amala Purana. It's spotless. It's the Paramahamsa Samhita. It's for the Paramahamsas, those who are free from envy. Who's free from envy in this world? And just by hearing the Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes arrested within one's heart. He won't move. Actually, Krishna, Nandanandana Krishna, not Paramatma, but Nandanandana Krishna, he becomes arrested within the heart. And because you're speaking about his internal pastimes, about his family, it's the most relishable subject matter for Krishna to hear himself. So when you're speaking that, you're attracting Krishna. So Purananam Idam Tata. So this helps fix the mind, because the best of the best of the best of the best. And then we have Panchanga Bhakti, which means there are five processes, and among those is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam every day with full attention means then we have attained the perfect way to be in touch with Krishna and to develop pure love for God. Nimnaganam Yata Ganga. Devanam Achuto Yata. Vaishnavanam Yata Shampu. Purananam Idam Tata. So now you only have 49 times more to recite. It's a free one. Hare Krishna. So let's hear some of Prabhupada's purports. Where are we in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 11, 16, and 17. And we've done some recitation. So I'm going to read through this. It's a long purport. And I'm going to read the purport so we can hear and have Prabhupada's association. Ishamya Prishtam Ayantam Vasudevo Mahamanaha Akrurash Chograsinascha Ramash Chadbhuta Vikramaha Pradyumnash Chadurdeshnascha Sambo Jambavati Sutta Praharsha Vegoch Chasita Shayanasana Bhojanaha Translation. On hearing that the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwarkadham, magnanimous Vasudev, Akrura, Ugrasena, Balaram, the superhumanly powerful Pradyumna, Chardeshna, and Samba, the son of Jambavati, all extremely happy, abandoned resting, sitting, and dining. Purport. Vasudev, son of King Shurasena, husband of Devaki and father of Lord Sri Krishna. He is the brother of Kunti and father of Subhadra. Subhadra was married with her cousin, Arjuna, and this system is still prevalent in some parts of India. Vasudev was appointed minister of Ugrasena, and later on he married 8 daughters of Ugrasena's brother, Devaka. Devaki is only one of them. Kamsa was his brother-in-law, and Vasudev accepted voluntary imprisonment from Kamsa on mutual agreement to deliver the 8th son of Devaki. This was foiled by the will of Krishna. As maternal uncle of the Pandavas, he took active parts in the purificatory process of the Pandavas. He sent for the priest Kashyapa at the Shatashringa Parvat, and he executed the functions. When Krishna appeared within the bars of Kamsa's prison house, he was transformed by Vasudev to the transferred by Vasudev to the house of Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Krishna at Gokula. Krishna disappeared along with Baladev prior to the disappearance of Vasudev, and Arjuna, Vasudev's nephew, undertook the charge of the funeral ceremony after Vasudev's disappearance. Interesting, just of course Janmashtami is coming up pretty soon, but in Krishna's appearance, he appears as Vasudev in the prison of Kamsa. Simultaneously, he's also born in Gokula from the womb of Yashoda. Krishna is actually born there. So there's Krishna, and he's born there. He's also appears from the womb of Devaki in the prison. And also, the Durga appears from the womb of Yashoda at the same time. So there's twins. And there's Vasudev Krishna. So now when Vasudev brings Krishna, they ask him, please assume the form of a baby, because how does he appear? He appears with full head of hair and all jewelry and all the weapons and everything like that. They say, please, you know, appear like a baby, because they're afraid that Kamsa will come. There's this fear. So he assumes the form of a baby, and Vasudev takes him across the river, and he goes over to Gokula. And what happens then? That Vasudev Krishna actually merges into the body of Gokula Krishna. So there's one Krishna. He takes the daughter back to the prison. And then when Kamsa comes, you know, he takes the daughter, tries to dash her to the floor, and she flies up into the sky and says, you're a fool. You know, the son is already born somewhere else. So this is explained in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport by Srila Prabhupada, and the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's kind of a shell game going on, but that's what it is. But all the Krishna, because he's the fountainhead of all other incarnations, they all rest within his body. They're all there. They can come out at any time. All the different expansions like Vasudev Krishna. Just thought I'd mention that. Yes.
Bruce, when we were reading recently that Krishna has 64 qualities which no other forms have. So it says that Narayan has only 60 qualities. So does it mean like Balaram also has 60 qualities, or does he have 64? Because Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, and from him Narayan and other forms come. So
I haven't seen his qualities enumerated, and I'm not sure if he plays a flute. He may sometimes, but not like Krishna. So I haven't seen that written anywhere, that comparison between. But I can ask some pundits and find out. Hare Krishna. Akrura. The commander in chief of the Vrishni dynasty and a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Akura attained success in devotional service to the Lord by the one single process of offering prayers. He was the husband of Sutani, daughter of Ahuka. He supported Arjuna when Arjuna took Subhadra forcibly away by the will of Krishna. Both Krishna and Akura went to see Arjuna after a successful kidnapping of Subhadra. Both of them presented dowries to Arjuna after this incident. Akura was present also when Abhimanyu, the son of Subhadra, was married with Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit. Ahuka, the father-in-law of Akura, was not on good terms with Akura, but both of them were devotees of Lord Krishna, of the Lord.
Can you say something about the Vrishni dynasty? Does it come from the sun or the moon?
Can you say? Do you have someone have something ready? I can't immediately, sorry. Ugrasena, one of the powerful kings of the Vrishni dynasty and cousin of Maharaj Kunti Bhoja. His other name is Ahuka. His minister was Vasudev, and his son was the powerful Kamsa. This Kamsa imprisoned his father and became the king of Mathura. By the grace of Lord Krishna and his brother, Lord Baladev, Kamsa was killed, and Ugrasena was reinstalled on the throne. When Shalva attacked the city of Dwarka, Ugrasena fought very valiantly and repulsed the enemy. Ugrasena inquired from Naradaji about the divinity of Lord Krishna. When the Yadu dynasty was to be vanquished, Ugrasena was entrusted with the iron lump produced from the womb of Samba. He cut the iron lump into pieces and then pasted it and mixed it up with the seawater on the coast of Dwarka. After this, he ordered complete prohibition within the city of Dwarka and the kingdom. He got salvation after his death. Baladev, he is the divine...
Does this mean that Akura and Kamsa are brothers?
Baladev, he is the divine son of Vasudev by his wife Rohini. He is also known as Rohini Nandana, the beloved son of Rohini. He was also entrusted to Nanda Maharaj along with his mother, Rohini, when Vasudev embraced imprisonment by mutual agreement with Kamsa. So Nanda Maharaj is also the foster father of Baladev along with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev were constant companions from their very childhood, although they were stepbrothers. He is the plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore he is as good and powerful as Lord Krishna. He belongs to the Vishnu Tattva, the principle of Godhead. He attended the Swayamvar ceremony of Draupadi along with Sri Krishna. When Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna by the organized plan of Sri Krishna, Baladev was very angry with Arjuna and wanted to kill him at once. Sri Krishna, for the sake of his dear friend, fell at the feet of Lord Baladev and implored him not to be so angry. Sri Baladev was thus satisfied. Similarly, he was once very angry with the Kauravas, and he wanted to throw their whole city into the depths of the Jamuna. But the Kauravas satisfied him by surrendering under his divine lotus feet. He was actually the seventh son of Devaki prior to the birth of Lord Krishna. But by the will of the Lord, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to escape the wrath of Kamsa. His other name is therefore Sankarsana, who is also the plenary portion of Sri Baladev. Because he is as powerful as Lord Krishna and can bestow spiritual power to the devotees, he is therefore known as Baladev. In the Vedas also it is enjoined that no one can know the Supreme Lord without being favored by Baladev. Bala means spiritual strength, not physical. Some less intelligent persons interpret Bala as the strength of the body, but no one can have spiritual realization by physical strength. Physical strength ends with the end of the physical body, but spiritual strength follows the spirit soul to the next transmigration, and therefore the strength obtained by Baladev is never wasted. The strength is eternal, and thus Baladev is the original spiritual master of all devotees. Sri Baladev was also a class friend of Lord Krishna as a student of Sandipani Muni. In his childhood, he killed many asuras along with Sri Krishna, and specifically he killed the Dinakasura at Talavan. During the Kukshetra battle, he remained neutral, and he tried his best not to bring about the fight. He was in favor of Duryodhan, but still he remained neutral. When there was a club fight between Duryodhan and Bhimasena, he was present on the spot. He was angry at Bhimasena when the latter struck Duryodhan on the thigh or below the belt, and he wanted to retaliate the unfair action. Lord Sri Krishna saved Bhima from his wrath, but he left the place at once, being disgusted at Bhimasena, and after his departure, Duryodhan fell to the ground to meet his death. The funeral ceremony of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna, was performed by him, and he was the maternal uncle. It was impossible to be performed by any one of the Pandavas, who were all overwhelmed with grief. At the last stage, he departed from this world by producing a great white snake from his mouth, and thus he was carried by Sheshanaga in the shape of a serpent. Pradyumna, incarnation of Kamadev, or according to others, incarnation of Sunat Kumar, born of the son of the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, as Lakshmi Devi, Srimati Rukmini, the principal queen of Dwarka. He was one of those who went to congratulate Arjuna upon his marrying Subhadra. He was one of the great generals who fought with Shalva, and while fighting with him, he became unconscious on the battlefield. His charioteer brought him back to the camp from the battlefield, and for this action, he was very sorry and rebuked his charioteer. However, he fought again with Shalva and was victorious. He heard all about the different demigods from Naradaji. He is one of the four plenary expansions of Lord Sri Krishna. He is the third one. He inquired from his father, Sri Krishna, about the glories of the Brahmanas. During the fratricidal war among the descendants of Yadu, he died at the hand of Bhoja, another king of the Rishnis. After his death, he was installed in his original position. Charudeshna, another son of Lord Sri Krishna and Rukmini Devi. He was also present during the Swayambhar ceremony of Draupadi. He was a great warrior, like his brothers and father. He fought with Vivinidaka and killed him in the fight. Samba, one of the great heroes of the Yadu dynasty and the son of Lord Sri Krishna by his wife Jambavati. He learned the military art of throwing arrows from Arjuna and he became a member of parliament during the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was present during the Rajasuya Yajna of Maharaj Yudhisthira, when all the Vrishnis were assembled during the time of the Prabhas Yajna. His glorious activities were narrated by Satyaki before Lord Baladev. He was also present along with his father, Lord Sri Krishna, during the Ashwamedha Yajna performed by Yudhishthira. He was present before some rishis falsely dressed as a pregnant woman by his brothers, and in fun he asked the rishis what he was going to deliver. The rishis replied that he would deliver a lump of iron, which would be the cause of fratricidal war in the family of Yadu. The next day, in the morning, Samba delivered a large lump of iron, which was entrusted with Ugrasena for necessary action. Actually, later on, there was the foretold fratricidal war, and Samba died in that war. So all these sons of Lord Krishna left their respective palaces and, leaving aside all engagements, including lying down, sitting, and dining, hastened toward their exalted father. The next verse is Varanindram paraskritya brahmanai susamangalai shankha turya ninadhina brahmagoshina chadrita pratyugachamu ratayar hrishta pranayagata sadvasaha. They hastened toward the Lord on chariots with Brahmins bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded, and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection. Purport: the Vedic way of receiving a great personality creates an atmosphere of respect, which is saturated with affection and veneration for the person received. The auspicious atmosphere of such a reception depends on the paraphernalia described above, including conch shells, flowers, incense, decorated elephants, and the qualified Brahmins reciting verses from the Vedic literatures. Such a program of reception is full of sincerity on the part of both the receiver and the received. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurandatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And similarly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All this paraphernalia and the offering to the Lord when he's approaching the city is also what we do when we're offering an artik, and all the paraphernalia that we offer. You don't see this paraphernalia anywhere else except where the devotees are worshiping the Lord. You won't see it anywhere in Palo Alto, in any store up and down the street. It's very special, specialized things. And like in Ashtanga yoga, there's a way in which the yogi fixes his mind internally and is able to ultimately see the super soul and rest the mind. And when we offer this kind of paraphernalia to the Lord, the lamp and the water and the sound of the conch shell and all these things, actually it does a similar thing. It's a kind of yoga that brings our senses to rest at Krishna's lotus feet. We're able to concentrate because all of them are auspicious and they're all in direct relationship to the Lord. They're being offered to the Lord. And there are elements like fire and water and all these kinds of things. And when they're offered, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnau Brahmanohutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavya Brahmakarma Samadhinam, they become transcendentalized. And when we see them as we're offering them to them, it has an effect on the mind and the senses, to control the mind and senses. And as we're moving about and offering these things and getting them ready, as we talked about the different stages of deity worship, even getting the paraphernalia ready. Does anybody remember what that's called from our classes on deity worship? There's five stages to deity worship, and the acronym is All You Yield Is Sweet. So the first one was Abhigamana. And then you, and the you is a you like you'd put on a text message. Upadan. And in Upadan, it means gathering together all the paraphernalia. So even in that situation, it's auspicious to the mind, you know, gathering. And then offering it to the Lord. There's a way that we become, the senses become pacified, you know, by seeing those things, the flames and the water and all the different pristine articles that we offer, they're completely cleansed, you know, when we offer to the Lord. And this is our very powerful kind of yoga, how we move about and touch these transcendental items and offer them directly to the Lord. And there's a personal exchange also. Just as these devotees are spontaneously running out to meet the Lord and they bring all these things, it's the way you greet someone. You want to bring something. So similarly in Vrindavan, the devotees around Govardhan Hill, Govardhan is considered the best of devotees, Harivasara. And the reason is because he provides everything that the devotees need to offer to Krishna. And it's all there growing naturally. So the things that we collect in Upadan and we put on the tray, and they're already there around Govardhan, so the devotees can pick them up at any time and offer them to Krishna. And this is the system, it's a very personal kind of connection that we have when we worship the deity like that. So we're doing the same thing. And then the spirit is what's important. The devotees here are eager to see Krishna, and they're running to see him to offer all these things. So similarly, when we develop that kind of spontaneous attraction to come and see the deity and offer things, then this is our advancement, the process of advancing in devotional service. Nimnaganam yata ganga Devanam Machito Yata. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Purananam Idam Tata. We learned that verse this morning before you got here. So, today is a big day. It's sunny out. Gaura Krishna is smiling like anything. He's ready to go. Ready for more Sankirtan. So we have a continuation of the monthly Sankirtan festival. Remember that we're offering the results to Gauranga Mahaprabhu on his appearance day. So, you know, what we bring to offer the Lord is significant. He used to send out his generals to go and do Sankirtan door to door, and then they would come back and they would report to him. So we do the same thing. So just remember that whatever we're doing while we're out and doing Sankirtan, we're collecting up the results to bring back to offer to Mahaprabhu on his appearance day. So it's a very personal thing that we're doing. We're serving the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Venki said some time ago when we were in an assembly and we're talking about meditating on the MSF and Sankirtan, that one way that inspired him in meditation was to always remember when he was on Sankirtan who he was doing this for. Like if it was Lord Ramachandra, he'd be meditating on Lord Ramachandra. If it was Lord Krishna's appearance day, monthly Sankirtan festival, he'd be meditating on Lord Krishna. So taking his lead, we can today remember Gauranga Mahaprabhu and how merciful he is, and how we're doing this for him. And we're going to bring the results to him on the Gaur Purnima on the 28th of this month. So it's all leading up to that. We have door-to-door today? We have spots? Union City. Is this new? Have we been in Union City before? We have a big spot there? How many units? A thousand. That's huge. Does somebody live there, or are we busting in? It's an open one. No security. Somebody's going to let us in?
Actually, they started coming recently. Even, I think, they met you also. They used to come on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
The Indian couple.
Oh, the Indian couple. Right. That makes it really easy for me. Oh, right. The Indian couple. Huh? Oh, okay. So we're going to their apartment complex in Union City, and they're letting us in. That's the scheme for today, right? Do they know they're letting us in? Okay, that's great. All right, so let's have Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada. We're getting our strength from Srila Prabhupada to push on the Sankirtan movement, ask him for empowerment, and after that we'll have prasadam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Lord Shiva ki.
Jai.
Sankirtan Yajna ki.
Jai.
Gopremanande Haribo. Hare Krishna. Cooking? Oh. Vaishnavan Yata Shambhu. Purananam Idam Tata. Nindaganam yatha ganga, Devanam machito yatha, Vaishnavanam yatha shampu, Purananam idam tata, Nindaganam yatha ganga, Devanam machito yatha, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, Purananam idam tata, Nimnaganam yatha ganga, Devanam machito yatha, Vaishnavanam yatashambhu. Purananam idam tata. Do we have a translation? The lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Attachments to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. He opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord, birth after birth. From him ecstatic prema emanates. By him ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scriptures sing this character. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor, and the Lord and master of the devotees. O Master, be merciful unto us. Give us the shade of your lotus feet. Your fame is spread all over the three worlds. Shelter of your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna was looking especially beautiful today, wasn't he? Nice turban. Simple, but really sublime. We're fortunate to have such dedicated pujaris here at ISV. And also, we'll continue our ongoing classes about deity worship because it's an integral part of practicing bhakti, to worship the deity. And it's an important part of a community also to have everyone involved in deity worship one way or another for the main deities in the temple. So there's lots of services to do. As we have a kitchen certification course, we're also planning a certification course for the deity worship as well, so that we can go over all the different parts of how to put things away, how to take care of the deities properly, and you know, devotees can go through that course also. And there's lots of backup services for deity worship as well. When Madhavendra Puri discovered the Gopal deity, or actually the Gopal deity revealed himself, he saw him in a dream, and he came to him. And he said, I'm buried in the bushes some distance away, and you need to come get me. So the next day, he chopped through the brush with a bunch of villagers and told them right where Gopal had shown him in the dream. And they dug that area, and they found the deity that had been buried there when the Muslims had come to attack. And they put the deity there to save him. And they took the deity out and placed him on the hill, and then they did a bathing ceremony with many, many pots of water. And then everyone in the village brought something. In fact, every family in Vrindavan gave one cow for the deity. And then people brought all kinds of goods to offer to the deity. And soon a temple built up around him. And a rich person came and offered to build a temple. And then two Bengalis who were traveling, they stopped there and Madhavendra Puri liked them very much, and he engaged them in the service of the deity, and they started doing a lot of the main deity worship. And that, at that time, Madhavendra Puri had another dream that Gopal said, my body's still very hot because of being buried in the ground here for so long, so I need sandalwood. And sandalwood is only available down south, so he had to travel way down south to get the sandalwood at great trouble, physical trouble, to go there. But he was very happy to do it out of a labor of love, because the deity asked him to go get the sandalwood pulp. And of course, on the way there, he met the Gopinath deity, and he went to the temple. And the mentality of Madhavendra Puri, worshipping the deity, was he was always looking for first-class things to offer to the deity. This is the how all our senses get engaged in deity worship. That was quite a tumble. That even the propensity to shop and to go out and buy things, it becomes dovetailed in Krishna's service. And always looking for what's the first class thing, the next first class thing that I can bring for the deity. And Madhavendra Puri was thinking like that. And when he went to the Gopinath temple, he saw that they were offering first class kheer. And he thought, I wonder what's in it. That I could. His mentality was, I would like to know how to make this so that I can offer it to Gopal. And while he was thinking like that, he thought, if I could just taste a little, then I would know exactly how to make it for my deity. And then he realized that he had thought about tasting it and that it wasn't offered. So he became very ashamed of himself. And he went away from that place feeling completely mortified that he had thought of tasting that. Even though it was for service, that was his out of his humility. So he went off to chant. And that night, the pujari for the Gopinath deity woke up from a dream, because the Gopinath had revealed himself to the pujari, saying that a great devotee of mine is here and wanted to taste some sweet rice, and he's gone away. So while you are clearing away all the sweet rice after the offering, I've hidden one pot behind me, and that's for him. So please come collect it up, and then you can offer it to this great devotee of mine. So the pujari got up, and he thought he should take a bath because he'd already laid down to sleep. So he got up and he took his bath and he came back on the altar and he looked right where the deity had shown him in the dream, and the pot of sweet rice was there that Gopinath had stolen. So he's called Kheer Chor Gopinath. Up in Toronto, it's New Ramuna Dham. And when you chant, Jai Shishi Radha Gopinatha, Radha Kirchor Gopinatha. They start off with Radha Gopinatha, and then they say Radha Kirchor Gopinatha, because it's hard to jump right on that on the first one. But after a while, when you chant Radha Kirchor Gopinatha, try it. Radha Kirchor Gopinatha, Kirchor, practice it all day today, you'll see. It's nectarian, and when you think of the pastime, Krishna's intimate pastime of stealing that kheer for Madhavendra Puri, you'll be in ecstasy. So there's a very intimate exchange between Krishna and his devotees in doing deity worship. So the pujari went out looking for Madhavendra Puri, who had gone off to a place near the temple, and it was early in the morning, and he was crying out that if anyone here is named Madhavendra Puri, please come and get this sweet rice, because you are the most fortunate person in the universe. He's stolen this for you. Gopinath stolen this sweet rice for you. So Madhavendra Puri heard that some prasad was coming from the deity. So of course he came out. He met the pujari, who gave him this pot of sweet rice. And he took that kheer, and then he kept the pot in his cloth. He broke the pot up and he kept it tied in his cloth, and he would eat a little bit every day to remember how kind the Gopinath deity was to him. And then he traveled on to get the sandalwood, and it was very big burden. He had pounds and pounds of sandalwood, and it was difficult too, because traveling around India nowadays is difficult, but back then it was even more difficult, and you had to have papers for everything. Well, you still do. And so he had all this sandalwood, and he had special paperwork. They kept stopping him at different intervals, and he'd show the paperwork and they'd release him. So on his way back from further south, he had all the sandalwood, carrying it a great burden, and he had to take it all the way back to Vrindavan. And when he stopped again at the Gopinath temple to have darshan, that night he had another dream. And Gopal appeared to him in a dream, his Gopal deity from Vrindavan, and said, I and Gopinath are non-different. We're the same. Please offer all that sandalwood to the Gopinath deity and all enjoy it also. So Krishna, departure eva hita shantanam abhyupeta, dipayate vrvate hetu samana dharma, yas tadrigeva hita vishnu jaya vipati, govindamadi purusham tamaham. He expands, but he's one at the same time. So what Madhavendra Puri, of course you can imagine the pujaris how happy they were. It was hard to get sandalwood. And he came and he said, my deity has told me to offer everything to Gopinath. So they were very pleased. And they had a festival of grinding sandalwood every day and offering all that sandalwood paste to the Gopinath deity. And that way, Gopal was also satisfied. So these pastimes of Krishna and his devotees in his deity form are very sweet and nice, and we can enter into those pastimes. And it's actually necessary to advance in devotional service to worship the deity with faith and devotion. It's one of the most important aspects, to worship the deity with great faith and devotion. So I've had people tell me who have been to our temple, they've come up to me and just said point blank, and these are people from other devotees from other temples where they have deities, and I was shocked. They came up and they said, I just want to tell you, you have the most beautiful deities in the whole movement, maybe in the whole world. They said, the Radharani at your temple? One devotee was telling me, and other people said, the Krishna at your temple? And they're all saying that, you know, these deities are so beautiful. So, you know, we should have this desire to worship these deities and to do something for them. And when we come to the temple, to bring something for them. Of course, we are. This is why we're all coming here. But this is just the reminder that we're all doing this. And to also have some personal service for these deities, to wake them up, to put them to sleep, to do artiks for them and things like that. It's very special. And it's the nucleus of a community. And Prabhupada's given us that opportunity. So we should take advantage of it. So we're going to go on with training and deity worship, and how to do these kinds of things, to offerings to the deity. So we encourage everyone to come forward to take some service for Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sriman Mahaprabhu, Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishigadev. We can expand. Lots of devotees each doing a little bit. We'll have our own, like we have our packing crew, packing team. We should have teams, larger and larger teams for making ghee wicks for the Lord and, you know, all kinds of different services like that. It'd be very pleasing. So we're pleased to announce the cooks for today. Hiro Mataji has cooked. Hare Krishna. And your mom helped you. And Hiro's mom helped today. Hare Krishna. Is that the first time we've had this team, you and your mom cooking at ISV? Oh, so it's a big day here at ISV. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We've known since the very first day we went to Hiro's house that she was an excellent cook. And we're almost positive that she got it from you. Hare Krishna. What other announcements for today? Anything we need to know? Oh, really? Well, that's big news. Are they still here? Oh, they're cooking now. They're making dosa for the lunches. So Santosh and Monica Mataji have cooked today for the lunches. Hare Krishna. What else? Gora? Okay, then how far along are we on our goals? We have 6,000 books to distribute, right? Just seeing if you're awake. 6,000 books to distribute, right? 12,000 Lakshmi points? Okay, so last week, it looks like we have some Lakshmi starting.
We are about a third of our way on Lakshmi.
Okay.
And a fifth of our way on the books.
A third on Lakshmi and a fifth on the books.
And the fifth includes a shipment of Natal Gita. 890 books shipped out this week.
Jai. Haribo Motel Gita Ki. Okay, Kishore, fire us up. Give him a microphone.
Hare
Is Shrikant here? Where's Shrikant? Oh, really? Another drama getting ready? They're packing. Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be offering for Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So it doesn't get...
Hare Krishna. Come on in. Just for a sec.
Yeah. And I think it doesn't get bigger than this. So we should all work hard for this.
Meditate on Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Shrikant, say a few words to get us ready for today.
We'll meditate on Mahaprabhu, and today's, I hope it's very big day for Bhagdesh Vishwam. And yesterday, I just tell one pastime, like, yesterday when I met one guy, I gave him Bhagavad Gita and he said, you should take donation, you should not give like this. So there are a lot of pious people outside, like, they are waiting for us, so we should go out and give the books to them. Thank you.
Nice.
Hare Krishna.
Ravina, tell your story about the lady yesterday.
Hare Krishna. Actually, yesterday, like last two Harinams we missed, so everybody, I think, might be waiting for this Harinam. So it was really a very great one. And I was thinking, like last week also, I couldn't go out on book distribution, so I should do at least a few weeks yesterday. And I met one very nice lady, and she was, I was just showing her some books. So she was asking which is good book. So I told, like, I gave Chant and Be Happy, which is good. And then I told Lisha of Dish is also a good one. And then I gave SSR. I said, this is also very good. And then Sunny Prabhu gave Perfection of Yoga. So she said, which one I should show? I said, all are good. She said, yeah, even I feel like taking all. Can I take all of them? I said, yeah, since you are very much interested, you can take all of them. I thought, like, she didn't have, she seemed to be as if, like, she doesn't have much Lakshmi. So I said, since you are in, donate whatever you can, even if it's small, it's okay. She said, I have only $40. Is that okay? I wanted to give more.
Yeah.
So she gave $40 and she said, I'm very much interested, and I showed her the mantra. She said, oh, it's very nice, and she wanted to chant one. So we chanted mantra a couple of times, and she really enjoyed Harinam, and that was. And later, Ramanand Sakha Prabhu said, like her boyfriend, or we are not sure who it is, and he also took the book, and then he also donated $10 or something.
Jai.
And then she said she lives in Newark, and she was very happy to leave her email ID. So probably, like, she seems to be very pious and very interested. So we can follow up with her.
Very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So definitely everyone's waiting out there just to have some relief. So we're going to Union City and we'll do door-to-door. Okay. And if anyone wants another shot at store-to-store today, I'll be happy to start off with that and take some devotees store-to-store, maybe on our way there or something like that. We can maybe arrange that, a small crew. Okay.